The NAFTA podcast.
Sometimes may be good, sometimes may be shit.
All right, NAFTA podcast back. I'm back. Michael held down the fort last episode. Toughest thing to do when you host this podcast all the time and then listen to someone else do it, just because you're like, ugh, why'd he do that?
Because I'm my own man.
It was good, though. We got a lot to get into. This is a NAFTA podcast transfer special. We're going to jump into each team, give one transfer that we think could, should, would happen in the January transfer window. Give our thoughts. I mean, when you're talking about transfers and adding people, you're kind of going to end up talking about where you think they're going to finish and why they're buying people, so we'll talk that. Michael, you also wanted to chat a little bit about the marquee game that was in the FA Cup outside of Sunderland, Newcastle. I think you correctly predicted that that was the most important game in the FA Cup. We're going to talk Arsenal, Liverpool for a brief moment. And then later this week, it's going to come out on Thursday, you're going to have your normal episode where we are going to preview the upcoming Premier League week. And then I believe we're on international break for a little bit. So we got to figure out something else to do. You'll probably get a second transfer special or some shit like that.
Hopefully we have some transfers that we can actually talk about. That would kind of be interesting to get our two cents about.
Outside of Timo Werner. Outside of Timo Werner.
First things first.
I don't hate it. It's low risk, kind of. Outside of that, let's chat first. If you're watching on YouTube, welcome. Subscribe. If you're listening to wherever you purchase your iPods, your podcasts, subscribe. Give us 5 stars. Send us some comments. Most of the comments we get are pretty shit, but that's fine. I just send them to Michael. We talk through what we want to say. And then we move on from there. But we like interacting with you guys, even though you're 1,000% wrong and we're 1,000% right because we're American soccer fans. So please, like, subscribe, share, and come back for the next app if you like this one. Michael, I alluded to it a little bit. Give us your brief thoughts on the game that was Liverpool-Arsenal in the FA Cup, a 2-0 win by Liverpool.
Okay, so the reason I wanted to bring this up is just because it's been, as you know, it has been for the last 2 months, basically, that we've been having this conversation about this fan base. I don't know what else to... Anyway, second time we've had to play them in, you know, 3 weeks or 2 weeks or whatever. I've been flooded with, you know, a ton of shit on social media about it from both sides. Both sides, very good sides. You know, it is...
Sides is what you're trying to say?
Yeah, there's great... There is great people on both sides. Not every side has great people, but in this case...
No, that's true.
There are great people, Arsenal and Liverpool. You know, let me just be clear. Be crystal. Anyway, I think if... If you are trying to be, if you're an honest person, and I think as I've gotten older, I've become, especially with sports, I've become more pessimistic, but at the same time, more honest. We got slapped up the first half, 100%. Yeah. I mean, you could look at the stats, you could watch the game, didn't have a lot going on. Arsenal probably should have scored a number of goals. Odegaard, I know, Bissaka had a chance. You know, it is.
Ain't gonna lie, they had us in the first half type meme.
I ain't gonna lie, they did. The problem is the same problem we've been talking about that we keep getting absolutely hounded for in the comments every week by these people is that you can't finish. You can't finish. Okay, yeah. You know, it happens. You can if everything was determined by XG, you wouldn't be winning that either. Man City or Liverpool would, but it matters if you put the ball in the back of the net. Second half, defensively got a lot better. We actually outperformed Arsenal in the second half and ended up getting a lucky own goal, for sure. A dangerous ball, but still, you know, it's an own goal. and then a goal right at the end of the game. We win the game at the Emirates. Huge, I think it's a huge result. I just watch on social media, and listen, Arsenal are great. I love, individually, your players are amazing. Saka's amazing. This is not a dig or anything. But you guys have to stop trying to, like, protect yourself so much. You have to be vulnerable, okay? And this, like, we're winning everything. Okay, well, we got knocked out of the Carabao Cup. Fuck the Carabao Cup. We don't need it. Okay, we got knocked out of the FA Cup. Fuck the tin pot. We don't need it. You can't go. You can't keep moving the goalpost to protect yourself. Because if you don't win the Prem and you don't win the Champions League, which are the two hardest ones to win, what was your season? You have to be a little bit more. You have to be a little more critical. You have to be a little bit more realistic. And by no means do I sit here and think, you know, if you're looking long term, it's been a great 2 years. You guys are way past where I think a lot of people thought you would have been 2 years ago. You know, you're challenged last year. You're challenging again this year. I just think that, and there are Liverpool fans as well that I follow on social media, and I have to say it's mostly the social media fans that I have to sit there and go, like, I can't listen to you. I can't agree with the shit you say. But at the same time, man, you guys can't keep protecting the players when they do poorly. You can't, like, throw them to the side. Havertz, like, you guys are still defending him. He's had a horrible season, all things considered. Saka's down right now. Martinelli's down right now. You don't have a striker. I think you could be honest about those things without, when I go on here and I say something, just because I have, you know, Liverpool fucking all over my room here, that I'm a hater and whatever. I'm not. It's just, I sit here and I criticize Darwin Nunez every week because he doesn't finish his chances, and players on our team. You got to just be a little bit honest with yourself. I think you'll enjoy the sport a lot more.
So, yeah, I mean, listen,
sorry. Just saying.
I got no room to talk. I'm a Man City fan. Not much bad has happened to me. Wait for 115 reasons why I'll be upset in a few months, years, whatever it is. It's interesting, though. Like, the creation of chances, which is sometimes the hardest thing to do, isn't their problem. It's the finishing of chances, like we've said. I'm listening to a pod today. I had no idea about this. Martinelli, it's taking him three times as many shots to score now. It, like, averages out, like, shots to goals and whatever. You mentioned Saka's not having the greatest year. Havertz has, like, weird big-time goals, but that's about it. And a lot of the pods I was listening to and a lot of the – I read a couple articles when we were preparing for this. Like, it's – they're ahead of schedule, if you'd asked 2 years ago, but now, because of what they've done – it's kind of a trophy or bust season for Arteta, somewhat. Like, I think it is.
And thank you just for bringing that up, because I put my gloves on with that last, you know, rant that I just went on or synopsis. Nothing, and I'm sticking my flag in the ground here, I'm planting my flag. Nothing encapsulates those online fans more than Mikel Arteta.
Yeah.
Nothing is ever the team, like, the team's fault, his fault, whatever. We, you know, perform, what do you say, performance-wise, merit-wise, only one team deserved to win the game. Brother, I don't know what to tell you. Because I do know that when Klopp, or Virgil van Dijk, actually, Klopp didn't say anything, but Virgil van Dijk came out after the United game, and I said that I was like, I think it's a fucking stupid-ass comment that he made. Okay, when he said only one team was trying to win the game, doesn't matter. You got to score goals. Doesn't matter. No. Who cares? And it's the same energy for Arteta as I had for Van Dijk in that moment. Doesn't matter, man. You are the coach. You are the mastermind. You have all these players. You are sitting Martinelli in the beginning of this game. You obviously care about this cup. You played a very, very strong team, apart from what Jorginho, Havertz, in the false nine, even though you don't really have a striker right now. You obviously more care a lot about later. This competition. Yeah, exactly. You obviously care a lot about this competition. You have to figure it out. So you can't lose. And then every time you lose, and I will give him credit, Fulham, he said, like, that was the worst game we played. So, fine. But most of the time he comes out and it's some other reason. And they eat it up. And I think that's hurting them more than it's helping them.
Yeah, you can tell that they were in a long-term relationship with Wenger for so long that they don't know how to love anymore. Like, yeah, they don't know how to be critical, I think, for sure. The only other point I had on this, no Salah, no Van Dijk, right?
Yeah, Van Dijk was sick. Klopp said that he came and he looked shit, so they sent him home.
The last thing you need, actually, is, like, a sickness outbreak. I mean, any team, as you cough. But any team doesn't need that. Like, you know, take out four or five guys.
Right.
Look, man, I don't know what's going to happen. No one knows what's going to happen. We've done this podcast for 3 years, and there's only been one champion, so we're not here to predict. But it's not where it needs to be. Doesn't mean it can't be for Arsenal fans, but it is not where it needs to be right now. All right, let's get into the transfers. We're going to start from the bottom, go to the top. That means you got Sheffield, then Burnley, then Luton, then Everton, then Brentford, Nottingham Forest, Crystal Palace, Fulham, Bournemouth, Wolves, Chelsea, Newcastle, Man United, Brighton, West Ham, Spurs, Arsenal, City, Villa, Liverpool. And let's start with Sheffield United. So, if I did my job right here and I prepped for this, there's going to be some graphics going on right now, which will be great. It'll look a little different. So if you're, fingers crossed. If it doesn't do that, John still stinks at Adobe. That's fine. So if you're listening to this on the podcast, it might be worth your while to jump into the YouTube channel and take a look that way. And like I said, subscribe there. Sheffield United, Michael, you mentioned this, and I got a feeling that your pick is going to be kind of off the cuff, and it's tough. It's tough to pick people for these three teams that we are pretty sure are going to go down, but I did my best, right? So for my pick for Sheffield United, I promise they're going to get a little bit more realistic as we go forward, but I got Kellen Acosta of the Columbus Crew fame, of MLS Cup fame, of playing in the CONCACAF Champions League. He's put in some good minutes. The reason I picked this guy, A, he's free somewhat because he's a free agent right now. B, he's only 28, so he's not like some old bag. I don't think you're going to get more than like a year out of this guy, but whatever. He's a winner. He's won at multiple places, and he makes the locker room better every place he's been. I know there's some American bias, and I probably should have waited to put this guy on till later, I guess, even though we started with Sheffield, because Europeans are going to turn this podcast off right now. That's fine.
I was going to say, this is a step down, right? And I, you know, yeah. I'm from Ohio. I'm a Crew fan, so I'm joking. Hold on. Yeah. Don't leave. But I'm just making a joke.
But I think when your ship is going to shit, the one place you got to look to for some solidarity and for some calm is center defensive mid. I think because we've watched the Prem so closely for the past few years, we've both seen that position is maybe the most important position on the field. Mm-hmm. And I don't see them having anyone that's that good, but they need someone in there. I also think so many teams need this position, and it's the hardest position to pick up, like full stop. City included. So my pick, Kellen Acosta, he's a free agent, won't cost you any money. I know people are going to scoff at this. I know people are going to turn it off, but put a winner in the midfield. Dylan will love it. I know that.
Dylan will love it, 100%. You may just go right after you?
Yeah, roll it.
Okay. I got Todd Cantwell from Rangers. I think he has 3 goals, 2 assists in the Scottish League, kind of. Found some form last year and this year after leaving Norwich. You got Archer up top. He's pretty good. We've seen him in spurts. He can do a job. He can score some goals. Reality is you have 15 goals in the Prem this year, which is the lowest mm-hmm. in the league. I don't think you need to bring Bobby Firmino in. I know that's a report right now. But I think you need something in the middle of the park to transition defense to offense. He can kind of play like a pseudo eight. He's not really a defensive mid, but he plays a little bit box to box, can kind of go on those wings. I think he'll help a counter, which is what you're going to be playing under a lot. And I think it's like 7 or 8 million. Like, that's his market value right now. He's 25. He could help you in the championship for sure. He tore the championship up because you're probably going to go down. I think it's a good investment to go get Todd Cantwell.
Yeah, I think that's the hardest part with these teams is, like, do you spend money on a guy that is only going to have X amount of years, might not stay if it's cheap? Like, you have to pinpoint these picks so precisely to make it make sense that it's actually kind of the more difficult thing that we've ever done. I like Cantwell. I've said before, like, when he was at Norwich, huge talent and, like, just couldn't really keep it together or figure it out. I don't really know what happened there. I'm glad that he's at Rangers finding some form. All right. Burnley. Michael, go ahead and lead us off your pick at Burnley.
And I want to, before I get into all the other 19 picks here, these are, I think, best case scenario. A lot of these you're probably not going to be able to do. Some of them you will. This one, I think, is in the, there's no chance you're going to be able to get him. But if you did, I actually think this would maybe save Burnley season. Ethan Ampadu from Leeds. Guy who can play center back, obviously. Can transition into the midfield a little bit as well. Gives you some like solidity in the back. You're giving up 41 goals this season. That's obviously not very good. You've only scored 20. I don't think a lot of the time... I mean, you could really... The problem with these teams, too, is like you could go for anybody because like they're so not performing well at all. Like the people aren't scoring. They're giving up goals, whatever. I think... They need some defensive stability and some ability to transition between plays, and I think Ampadu is really good at that. The problem is he plays for Leeds. They're definitely coming up next year for the, you know, more than likely. So, you know, why would he do that, and why would Leeds do that?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I got a Leeds guy on here as well that I'll pre-reference. Like, these are... I try to be as realistic as possible, honestly, but some of them are probably still going to be a little bit out there and not be able to get done. But to your point, company said this himself. He goes, look at our relegation rivals. At the beginning, it was Bournemouth, and then it was Fulham. They got Solanke, and they got Raul Jimenez, and those are two players that no one on my team is as good as. And I think that's true. Like, with Sheffield, with Burnley, and with Luton, you are trying to get as many Premier League level players on the field as possible because, in all honesty, the chasm between them and every other team that stayed up, this is the first year I think we've seen that it's humongous. Like, it was big. So, my pick, Emile Smith Rowe. Free my man. If your company, it's looking pretty bleak, I get that. But every report out of Burnley says they got a plan. They're going to stay young. They want to, you know, keep the core together, have him grow. I think this is a loan deal. I don't think you're able to keep ESR at all, but he needs to play. They got to let him out of Arsenal. He's only played 12 games in all comps this year. I think it's a win-win-win-win. You're going to have him play in a system that can somewhat transfer over to Arteta's system too if next year they actually want to give him a run to play. Company learned from Pep. Arteta learned from Pep. It's kind of the same coaching tree. I just want to see this guy play. I can't imagine he's that bad that he can't play or that Arsenal have gotten that much better that he can't play. I just want this guy to get out there and get some time. So a loan deal to Burnley. Do I think it's going to save them? No, but I think it's going to be a great place for him to showcase and then get picked up next season.
Yeah, I totally agree with you because I think, again, I don't want to go back on this, but you're giving Havertz a chance, Trossard, all these guys, and it hasn't worked out. Why not give him a shot? And the fact that they're not really giving him a run of games, I think is crazy. But I do agree. Yeah. I think he's a really good player.
All right, Luton Town. Let's start here, Michael.
Okay. Sorry, I was unaware.
Give me these. Not paying attention, but give me these. If you're listening on the pod, I threw out my JLs. You know what that means. Time for Jesse Lingard to come back to the Premier League. I know you mentioned in the pre-show to me, he offered himself up to Barcelona.
He's going to Catalonia.
I saw a really funny tweet right after that that says, "Hey, my name's Steve. I offer myself up to Dua Lipa." Look, in the U.S., we love a Cinderella story. I think Jay Ling's has performed really well when he was at West Ham. I think that not only, again, it's getting a Premier League, like, level player on the field to go with Andros Townsend, to go with Ross Barkley, who we can joke, they have been a net positive for Luton, for sure. They've helped them out a ton.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
Not only are you adding another, like, Premier League level player there, brother, this guy is a locker room positive. Like, he'll get the guys together. He's going to be the person to get the dancing going. You're going to have vibes coming out your ears. It's going to be a great time. I think that, like, not only will he impact on the field, the impact in the locker room that Lings can have on this Luton Town team for just 6 months maybe would be huge. Also, free agent. Don't got to pay. Like, that's the other thing that's going to be key for these three teams. They got no money.
Yeah. You obviously, like, the wages, you don't have to pay a transfer fee. He's going to be on, like, decently high wages, I'd have to imagine, because he's going to demand them. The other one, how I don't even know how this would work, because I don't know the ins and outs, but you mentioned Ross Barkley and how well he's performing. And I know there was a tweet that I'm going to steal to make this pick. Give me Jordan Henderson. He wants to come back to the Prem. Double pivot Ross Barkley at Kenilworth Road. Absolutely electric. Just two guys running around.
Yeah.
Running their socks off. That.
Like,
I love it.
But I do think, to play a little, like, let me poke at you, Jordan Henderson. It would be, and I'd be okay with this, it would be the right amount of... what's it called when you go and confess your sins and then the priest tells you, hey, you got to do 10 Hail Marys? It's like, it's not tithe. It's like your penance. It would be the correct penance for Hendo to have to come back and be on a team to get relegated to be in the Premier League.
Absolutely. I saw another report that he was potentially going to, I don't fucking know. It was on Twitter. But, like, him going to Chelsea, and listen, if you're going to go to the Prem, you got to go to Kenilworth, baby.
Yeah, don't go to Chelsea. I think the wages there... Why would you do that? The wages there are going to be the issue, obviously. I think he'll take a cut, but I don't know if anyone's going to be able to straight up buy them, because, like, we don't know how Saudi sells yet. We know how Saudi buys. We don't know how Saudi sells. If they don't have a problem selling at a loss, you might be able to get them. I got a feeling they're pretty decent business people. I forget how much he was. It was like 15, 16, 17 mil?
Yeah, but he's making a shit ton wages.
Well, it's like 895,000 a week. He's not making that elite.
Yeah.
Brother. Like, that's not happening.
No, God. Bro. Jesus.
But if he's the highest paid
player in the Prem.
Yeah, if he wants to leave Saudi that bad, look, go to Luton. Fuck it. All right, Michael. Give me your rivals. Who you got for Everton?
Everton. All right, so I know I had said a couple months ago, DCL injuries incoming, hasn't happened. DCL's been fit. He's been playing. Hasn't been, you know, just smashing goals in, but he's been playing. I still think that they need a striker. I think that this would be a big signing for them. Give me, I don't know if I'm going to say his last name right, because the S's and the Z's mess me up. Sammy Smodix of Blackburn. Yeah. Guy has... I think he's like second or third maybe in... Or maybe he's first, I don't know. In the championship at Blackburn. The caveat here is Blackburn are not doing particularly well in the championship. So, it might be a situation where they're looking at the amount of money they can get for him, rebuild the team a little bit to fight for promotion. Everton, I know the financial fair play, but they've been trying to figure it out. Probably can still afford him. Last game in the cup against Cambridge, he had a hat trick. I think it would be an absolutely great signing. Doesn't seem to get injured a ton, and just bangs in goals.
Yeah, I think Everton, the toughest version of picking who they're going to get is they have no money again, and that I would be willing to bet they're afraid to spend any money because it may be 10 more points, right? I mentioned I had a Leeds guy that I wanted to chat through. I know this probably isn't realistic. I had it even as a loan so that Everton doesn't really have to pay that much. Give me Wilfred Nyoto, the winger for Leeds. One, I think it'd be an interesting guy to have under Dyche because he's going to be able to start the counter quick. He's very fast. He plays out on the wings, get it out to him. And when he has the ball, being able to play into DCL, who is really good in the air and needs that service, I think would be another huge key for them. Is it possible? Probably not. Do I think Everton's even going to sign anyone this window? No. But, you know, in this alternate universe where we get to sit here and choose a transfer for each team, Wilfred Nyoto from Leeds is going on loan to Everton, and I think he becomes a legend in Dutch ball.
A legend. Absolutely. Yeah.
Also, I will say this. Name another podcast. I just looked at our list. Name another podcast that gives you 40 transfers. We don't have one repeat for anyone. Like, we talk about 40 different players, which is going to be wild.
Wow, we do.
Yeah.
Wow. There are some, though. There are some that I was like, oh, okay, because I had mine in before you. That makes sense.
Yeah. I did that in person. All right, Michael, talk about your boys in Brentford.
So, first of all, he's from Denmark. Check one box right there.
Bang.
Okay.
Bingo, bang.
In the Bundesliga, team that's mid-table, probably, you know, more willing to spend than a team fighting for something. They don't look like they're going to get relegated in Wolfsburg. Give me Jonas Wind, striker for Wolfsburg. 4 assists, 9 goals on the season. I'm thinking if they keep Tony, obviously, this is going to be backup for whenever they inevitably lose Tony. I think Mbeumo plays that striker role, but he also would like to be on the wing. I think Jonas Wind is a good style of player. I think that he could really help them offensively. They're really tough. Brentford are very tough to score against. I think I saw they're like the fourth best XG against. So they're really tough to get goals against. They just need to start scoring and, you know, all those guys, they have a ton of people out, African Cup of Nations. I think they need to do something now to try to stabilize themselves. I think he'd be a great signing. And I don't think Wolfsburg, you know, I obviously don't work there or don't am not there, so I don't know what their deal is. But I think this is something that they could potentially get done.
Yeah. Okay, I had a few things about Brentford. One, didn't realize they were this low on the table. Holy shit. Like, not a 5-alarm fire yet, but we got to start hoping that Ivan Tony's back soon. Two, speaking of Ivan Tony, I'm going to put bold take. I don't think he goes this winter.
I don't think so either. I think they literally need him right now.
I think, yeah. And again, I was reading a lot in prep for this. Like, he wants to stay. He feels like they did him a service by, like, sticking with him while he was going through the whole thing. Like, I think that's a great thing. And honestly, what better place, real quick before you go, but what better place to be when you're trying to get back to, like, full game mode than the place you've been for the past couple of years?
For sure. I think he's more of a summer signing for somebody else, yeah, to be honest, yeah, which is why I didn't put him anywhere on here.
Same.
But just so it, yeah, 40 transfers and not one of them is Tony. That's actually kind of impressive.
Yeah.
But just so
it title seems of the like pod? We'll cut this up. Title of the pod?
40 transfers, no Tony?
Yeah, maybe.
There you go. Just so it doesn't seem like I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about, the reason I picked Jonas Wind, 85% aerial duels won for strikers in the Bundesliga. Brentford are crossing balls in. They're doing set plays. He's good in the air. Yeah. Just so it didn't seem like I picked some Denmark striker just because he's Denmark.
Yeah. I picked a striker as well. But I also view it as like, hey, Tony's going to take some time to get back and running. You need a Premier League striker, maybe not proven, quote unquote, but you need a Premier League striker to step in. And I also think they'd be able to work pretty well together, you know, whether it be super sub or like on the field at the same time. Michael, I know you're more of this guy, but is the term shout out to my weebs? Is that like the term for people that like anime?
Yeah, kind
of. Because when I say this person's name, I think of an anime. Eddie Nketiah! Shout out to Eddie Nketiah. The irony...
What the fuck was that?
Hey, I had a lot of coffee today.
Whoa, Nketiah! My God.
The irony of taking an Arsenal striker and putting him in Brentford, apropos of like taking the Brentford striker and putting him in Arsenal, I just think that he needs run too. I think that he's kind of unfairly got the finger pointed at him when Gabby Jesus isn't performing, Martinelli's not performing, Saka's not performing this year, Nketiah's not getting as much time as them, and then getting told that he's the worst. Get him out of there. I also really like that outside of like this small sample size we've had this half year, Frank is really good with working with strikers. Tony, Watkins, yeah. The first time with Malpe, maybe not now, but the first time with Malpe, really, really good with working with strikers. I think he is a great fit there. So I got Eddie Nketiah.
I love it.
Sorry for yelling at the mic.
Go ahead for Nottingham Forest.
Yeah. Forest. Look, this one stinks. This is stinks to high heaven because you and I are going to get to talk about something that we love talking about that Dylan hates. My pick for Forest, bring Keylor Navas back. You're not spending that much money. PSG is more than happy to put him out on loan. I think he's only played in one game in all competitions this season. He kept you up last year. If I had to pick one team that is a threat to maybe let those bottom three teams stay up, this is the only one I'm thinking. Matt Turner's not been good enough. And there's other areas of the pitch that, like, you definitely can pick for Forrest to be like, why wouldn't we get a midfielder? Why wouldn't we get a center back? Why wouldn't we get a striker? Whatever. It's all going to be more expensive than putting this in. A, you get a guy that's familiar with the city ground. B, he's still probably a pretty decent goalkeeper, better than anyone you got. See, he's a leader. Lead them to stay up one more time, and then he becomes a Forest legend in my book. For my money,
dude. For sure. I was trying to think of who to get for Forest because they have so many players. I was thinking a center back. They got McKenna Ball. I mean, they have a lot of people out, African Cup of Nations as well. But
yeah,
you know, when they're full, you know, full tilt, they got Niakate, Bolly, McKenna, Worrell, and then they got Murillo, who I didn't even know who he was. He's like 21-year-old Brazilian guys played pretty well. Midfield, they got Kouyaté, Gibbs-White, Sangare. I think Sangare is really good. So I was struggling, and all I could do is come back to goalkeeper because, again, we're allowed to be a little anti-American when Dylan and Nick aren't here. I went for Ramsdale. Because I think Forest spend money. They've shown in the past they spend money. I think it's a situation that Ramsdale is, and to your credit, Keylor Navas is too, fighting for relegation. He did it with Bournemouth, and I think they did get relegated, but he knows the feeling and stuff like that. And they're obviously in a better position than that Bournemouth team was. And I think Ramsdale is a good goalkeeper. There has been a little bit of, like, rewriting of history in the media with him, probably because he's English, that, like, he actually wasn't ever that bad at all. And there were times where he was not good. But he by no means is Ramsdale a bad keeper. And I think he's better than Matt Turner. I think he's objectively better than Matt Turner. Yeah, and that hurts because I want Matt Turner to be good, but he, like, the past 5 months, he has not been great.
I agree. All right, before we move on to Palace, I do want to ask this question. Ramsdale being the pick, the sexy pick of, you know, a keeper moving in the winter, I actually think there's no shot he leaves.
I think Arteta just won't let him go.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what happens because if he goes and, God forbid, David Raya gets injured, I don't even know who their third keeper is, but they're Matt like Turner. No, Matt Turner's at Forest.
Is he? I thought he was on loan.
I think he is, but they're going to bring him back, you think?
Oh, they would recall it. I don't know who their other guy is.
All right, well, damn. Matt Turner, full circle. what a Forest section. What a Forest section. All right, Michael, Crystal Palace, who you got?
As you could tell, I had a lot of themes in this when I was picking teams, picking players. I went back to the championship for this one. Norwich City, mid-table, not doing super hot, but they have won pretty outstanding player. 24-year-old Gabriel Sara. Plays in the middle of the park, kind of an 8-role DM to attacking midfielder. Mostly a DM too, which is nice. You get that defensive stability. As a DM as well, it's just his primary position. 86th percentile in goals, 91st percentile in shot attempts, touches 93, chances created 99. He is an all-around player for that Norwich team, who, again, it's easy to be an all-around player when you're at Leicester and the goals are flowing and the team is really good. But to be that at a mid-table team, I think they need some creativity. They obviously have it in Eze, they have it in Elise. They need somebody kind of helping them out because, you know, inevitably they're going to lose one or both of them. And I think he's like priced at about 15 million. So put that to like 22, 23, I'd imagine. I still think it's good business though. He's young enough. He's going to hit his prime at Crystal Palace and you can get a lot of money for him after.
Yeah. Look, you mentioned doing the dirty work. And I think that is something that I think needs to happen at Palace, especially to be able to help out Elise and Eze. I got a pick. I think a lot of my picks are not sexy. I think a lot of my picks for this are like very kind of like, damn, why, like Keylor Navas, DeForest. You had all day to think about this and that's what you came up with. Connor Gallagher coming back to Palace, I think makes the most sense for Palace. I think it's painfully stupid if Chelsea get rid of him, which means Chelsea probably will. But I think Connor Gallagher goes to a place where he is more than comfortable, had an incredible season. It is the absolute motor for Chelsea, could be the absolute motor for Palace, which I think they are missing right now. Can definitely connect that back line to the front line. Would have a huge impact. And to be honest, I think Palace would do him the solid that if he actually came there, showed out for that half a year, or maybe even the next year, he's going to be able to move on to a team that would actually appreciate him the way Chelsea should. And the reason Chelsea are more than willing to get rid of him, which I'll allude to in a second, or talk about in a second here, is like when you're an academy product and you get sold, it's 100% net profit to FFP. They just want to be able to spend more money. That's the only reason they're getting rid of him. Connor Gallagher back to Palace, I think, just makes a ton of sense.
Yeah, I was thinking about this the other day. And I forgot, and I just remembered when we were talking about Crystal Palace. You got to remember, too, they lost Decore for the season, 11 games in. He was their DM in the middle, and since then, they've basically been playing Richards, who is not really a DM, more of a center back there, with Lerma and Eze. And I think it's like, you know, they need defensive stability in the middle, because I think they're too... You know, I think Gehi and Anderson are both really good center backs. I think the other obvious place would be, like, right back Nathaniel Clyne. Like, he's still playing. You know, shout out to him. But, you know, it's been a while. And then I think they get enough, production from Elise, Eze, and whoever is rotating up there. I mean, I think he's not very good, and he's assist or goal every single game, it seems like. So... I think they just need some defensive stability. They could start getting some wins.
Yeah, I think you and I, being a City fan and a Liverpool fan, can tell you no matter how good your team is, no matter how good your center backs are, if you don't have a DM that is up to snuff there and you're putting all that pressure and all that weight on the center backs, it's going to crack a lot of times.
100%.
And 100%. I think that's what's going on there. Michael, speaking of Liverpool, I got Fulham. Let's talk Fulham. At Fulham, my pick... Pedro Chiarravella. Does that name ring a bell?
Oh, yeah, I know all about him.
Former Liverpool guy at Nantes now. Having a really, really great season there. The reason I picked this guy, I saw a couple of Fulham pods and a couple of Fulham like fan boards talk about him. I didn't really know him that well, but I looked into him. Pellini's gone. If not this winter, he's gone in the summer. I think you bring in a guy that can maybe... not fully fill the hole that he's going to leave, but step in and be a help there. He's not that young. I totally get that. But I think right now you're looking at a couple of stop gaps for some of these scenarios, especially if Pellini goes in the winter. He's played in the Prem, not very much, but he's played in the Prem. He has the background of being at Liverpool. I just think that when you're at risk of losing a dude that is as important to Fulham as Polina is, you're going to have to spend a little bit more money to be as consistent as you want to be. And as much as we've kind of peppered into people's heads, if they listen to this pod, that the bottom three teams are the worst three teams here, and then maybe it's Forest, dude, I've seen some games where Fulham plays where it might be Fulham right after them. So yeah. I don't think they're going to go down, but you don't want to risk it. So I got Pedro Cervella. Chiravella. Sorry.
Chiravella. We're talking about, I think you mentioned like Bournemouth and Fulham with Dom Solanke and Raul Jimenez being, you know, I think as a company said, right? Is that what you said earlier on in the pod, that they don't have a players like that? I think Raul Jimenez is playing so far out of his ass right now that people are forgetting that he like went a whole calendar year, like season, without scoring a goal. And come back from injury.
Don't be ableist. He has brain trauma, okay?
Coming back from injury, I get it. I don't, because I've never had a head injury. Actually, I have once, but not the same type. But I get it.
Yeah.
I think that is absolutely a fire burning, insanely hot, and I want some backup in the striker position for Fulham.
Not wrong.
Give me Omar Marmoush, Egyptian from Frankfurt. Now, they are still fighting for European position, so they might not be willing to sell him, but Fulham have a little bit of money. They have that Premier League TV money. You know, they can go there. They can get him. He is 7 goals, 3 assists in the Bundesliga right now. Creates a lot of chances. He's somebody, I think, that you have to get into the game. He's not like a game changer himself. I think if you play him with, I think Wilson's very good. I think De Cordova-Reed is very good. Willian can get people into the game. And then he can just kind of post up there, make some through ball runs. Get some goals. He's a good finisher as well, and he does a little bit of defensive work on the back end. And he's 24, and I think that would be a very good signing for them, just to bolster that attacking. Because I think they're defensively, they're not bad. I think Bassey's really good. Anthony Robinson, I hate his nickname. I think he's a really good player though. And then I think Leno's probably understated goalkeeper in the Prem so far.
Yeah. I think I was going in my universe where, spoiler alert, Polina does leave in one of my picks up here. And I was like, man, that's the next logical thing. But I think you're absolutely right. Company's comment about Raul Jimenez is hilarious, because I think on this pod, because Dylan's here and is a Wolves fan, we talked about how bad he's been a few times. But that fire is burning quite bright right now, and we've seen the reality of it. Michael, Bournemouth, the pods. Everyone on the pod's second favorite team minus Dylan. Go ahead, lead us off. Who you got going to Bournemouth so that we can report back to Craig?
All right, Craig. Listen. He was at Liverpool, similar to Pedro Chiarella, okay? He went to Porto. He is a somewhat of a staple in that team, a box-to-box midfielder. I think, okay, I love Billing. I don't know. It doesn't seem like he's been playing as well this season. Lewis Cook and Christie, I think, are both really good players. Lewis Cook is 26. He has some time to go. Christie in his prime right now, 28. I think you need some help in the midfield. Give me Marco Grujic from Porto. I think he has found himself in the Portuguese league. Box-to-box guy, does the work. I hate to make this comparison right now. I think he's a little bit more technical than like a Jordan Henderson. I think he's going to give you the running. He's going to give you the effort. And he's also can move the ball forward a little bit more. Mm-hmm. I think he has turned into a player that never got any time, continuously got put on loan, had decent performances, was just never going to make the team. And I think he has hit a different level. And I think he's that mid, like that 8 to 12 type of player in the Premier League right now, and I think he would thrive under Iraola as well.
Yeah. When I was making this pick, A, I allowed myself to get a little unrealistic. One, B, really wanted to think about Iraola's system and how I think a player could fit in there. And again, much like the Fulham scenario where Polina is going, if teams are as smart as I am, Dom Solanke's not at Bournemouth in this window. Because I think he is the budget version of Tony and Osimhen, who, again, we'll get to later. Look. Yeah.
Sorry, 100 percentile in defensive actions as well for Grujic at his position, and 99% aerial duels. I think he just brings a different level of defense as well to that Bournemouth team.
That's stat nerds.
Look. I did this in Indiana on my phone, and I didn't write all this shit down, so I have to keep going back.
There you go. Look, Bournemouth, who you want up top? Solanke's gone. You got an American owner. Let me tell you who you want. Flo Balogun. Even though his name has no F-L-O, it's F-O-L, Florian Balogun. However you say it. I think Monaco would not sell him. No shot in hell. Whatever. But I think if you have your American owner who also owns the Knights, you got your boy Michael B. Jordan creating a jersey coming up. There's so much hype going on. You're going to have the center defensive mid and Tyler Adams come back soon, hopefully, and be an impact guy there. High motor, American striker, willing to work, has a ton of technical skill. I think that he would be a beast in Iraola's system, and I think that he would be a perfect successor. Maybe not perfect successor, because Dom does a little bit more in the air than I think Florian can, but a great successor to Dom. I'd be really pumped to watch those Bournemouth games. Probably would buy a kit. Balogun to Bournemouth. Sounds good saying that too. Balogun to Bournemouth? You kidding me?
They got great kits too, as Craig told us.
Top five kits. He said, how could you not get the blue kits and yellow away kit? As I think someone in our pod said, it's pretty ugly. But I'm with Craig.
Yeah, listen, it's in the eyes of the beholder, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. All right. One of our podmates is a fan of Wolves. You know him well, Dylan. We're going to talk Wolves right now if Josie can shut up. I'm sure you can hear her in the background. Wolves, look, Gary O'Neill comes away from Bournemouth. These two teams are going to be together from here on out. I got a feeling they are very similar. First things first, they don't have a lot of money. It's going to limit the scope there. I know that they wanted to get maybe this guy in the summer as I was reading some of the articles and weren't able to. I know that they've been playing Huang and Cunha in the center. They don't want to play in the center. You know where they want to be? On the wings. Give me Che Adams. Who's going to score for Wolves? Che Adams will. I think he would be a huge addition to this Wolves team. 6 goals, 2 assists in the championship. He has Premier League pedigree. I think he just brings another level. They've already loaned out Fabio Silva. They've already loaned out Sasa here in the winter. They need another striker. Bring him in.
I love that pick. Although we did say on this pod so many times, who's gonna score for you, Southampton? Che Adams, as like kind of a joke. And in fact, he did score quite a few goals that season for Southampton. All right, Dylan, I'm speaking directly to you, brother. How would you like a 22-year-old, 6'3", center and defensive mid from France? I will give you Kefren Thuram of Nice. He's injured right now. I'm sorry. I know you have problems with players being injured. That's why I think it's such a good fit. He is an absolute monster. Very young. He's going to cost some money, which is why I think this is not very realistic. But if you have a midfield of Lamina, you have Kefren Thuram, and then you have Cunha kind of in that attacking mid role, even though he kind of plays striker, but, you know, I think that they would want Sarabia or Huang or whoever, and you have Neto on the outside. I think it gives license for essentially Mateus Cunha to just play an offensive role all the time and still do some pressing and stuff here or there, but Thuram can cover so much ground. He's so defensive. So physical at the same time. I think he would be an absolute monster of a pick. And then when, you know, Neto or whoever else is whipping balls in, he's 6'3 in the box. You know, he's going to get his hat on and score some goals for you as well.
Yeah, dude, I think we mentioned this at the top. This has to be the hardest position to pick and get right. like, defensive mid. Like, it is, it's not easy to find a guy that's not going to cost you a lot of money. It's not easy to find someone who's actually going to work out. Like, if you can actually get this position good and get it right, like, you're, it's like a franchise quarterback in my eyes in the NFL. Like, now you can actually build some pieces that can make you a little bit more successful. Point being is, as much as Dylan probably wants to spend a little bit more time on Wolves, let's move on to Chelsea, because my pick for Chelsea, João Paulinho. Fulham goes to Chelsea. The reason I'm picking this one, yeah, it would suck for us. Great for Chelsea fans. The reason I'm picking this one is, I mentioned before, I think they are going to get rid of Conor Gallagher, which I think is galactically stupid. But it means that it is just pure profit going from into the FFP. They can spend a little bit more. I do think Paulinho is a better midfielder than Conor Gallagher. You make that upgrade there. I think he actually fits in the system so well, because we've watched Chelsea games. If you can get that stability in the center, and he can do a little bit of both. I mean, I know he only has 2 goals, 1 assist, but when Fulham's really cooking, he is the reason why. He's going to be a great kind of mentor and person to look into. Lavia and your boy from Brighton that we make fun of every week.
Is he my boy?
Caicedo, yeah. Shit, I have a podcast.
Why is he my boy?
Premier League, we do 2 episodes basically every week. Caicedo and Lavia, I just think it's a good fit. And Chelsea's not above buying multiple people at the same position that are pretty good. So even having Lavia and Caicedo doesn't matter. If you have those 3 people in the midfield, I think it's a pretty dangerous midfield.
Enzo
too, well. But that's what I meant. Enzo, damn.
Yeah.
I like this.
Yeah, I mean, literally not. You get to push him up a little bit too, and he can be a little bit more offensive. That's great. I mean, that would be great for them. It would be a smart move, which is why they won't do it, and they will sign Victor Osimhen.
True. Which I don't think is that smart of a move.
So here's the thing. I actually think Osimhen is... Listen, people I've already seen, because they're losing their mind about getting Victor Osimhen, and he's an absolutely phenomenal player. I think he plays a different way and a completely different style, and is better than Lukaku is. But people already are making the Lukaku-Osimhen comparisons. I don't think there's a comparison at all. I actually think this would work out very, very well for them. I don't think this is what they need necessarily the most, although Nicholas Jackson is their acting striker right now, which is typically not very good. But yeah, I think this is like just what they'll do. I think this is the one time where I was like, they're just going to get Victor Osimhen.
Yeah, I can see that too. When we get to Arsenal, let's break this down, because I want to chat through my view on 3 guys I got in my head and why the guy I pick is the better guy. Michael, Newcastle, are the Saudi representative in the Premier League. Who you got going to them?
All right, this is going to take some explaining, because obviously it's going to be Raul Neves from the Saudi League that will go there eventually. I think that's cheating, though, and I don't want to endorse that. So what I'm going to do instead is I'm going to recommend Ederson, not Ederson. There's a little accent over the E. I think that's how you say it. Ederson from Atalanta. He is a center attacking midfielder. They obviously lost Tonali to the Sharks. Tough. I hope we see you next season, brother. But I think they need a midfield. Joe Linton is running his ass off in there, found the shit out of people. I love it. They need somebody who can play that center attacking midfield role. And I think, you know, I actually think with all that money, they do pretty good business for the most part. I think the obvious thing, he's only 23 million, he's 24 years old. I think the obvious thing here is a goalkeeper, which, you know, you will obviously get to, and I think they will address that, because Dubravka is not a starting goalkeeper in a top six side in the Prem. But I also just think that they need help in the midfield really bad right now.
Yeah, as good as Newcastle are, and I'm kind of pumped that City got them coming up this week, because I do think that they're still tired. As good as Newcastle are, they need help all over the pitch because they're just not deep. It's not to say their starting lineup's not good. It is. It's just that they're not deep. I think it was an easy layup to go goalkeeper here. I also think that eventually they are going to want to get a younger guy. And in the sense of, like, City and Liverpool, when they needed their goalkeeper, they had guys lined up, and they went and got Alisson. They went and got Ederson, not Ederson, Ederson. But for right different now, guy. Yeah, different guy. For right now, they don't need to do that. They just need to paper over Dubravka with a better person because Nick Pope will come back next year and probably start until they sign that guy. Give me De Gea, free agent, doesn't cost that much money. He's wanting to play. He's waiting to play. Again, another win-win. If he goes in there and has a somewhat decent season, A, he's going to make United look stupid, which will make us laugh. B, he'll be able then to sign a contract to Saudi Arabia or the MLS next season and join Laureus over here. I just think it makes a ton of sense. It's mutually beneficial for Newcastle, mutually beneficial for De Gea. Bring him in. And again, you're not spending as much money. I mean, I'm sure his wages is going to be pretty big, but as much money as it would be to sign some guy that maybe you don't have vetted out because you thought Nick Pope was going to be here all season.
For sure. I think it's, this is the obvious signing. Like, of all the signings in the window, like, this is the one that it's almost like they're going to get either him or Ramsdale.
When's this going to happen? Yeah.
Yeah. It's like 10 days from now.
Yeah. All right. Speaking of making Man United, making fun of Man United, this is making fun of Man United, I'm going to tell you who they should get because I think this is actually a pretty good pick. Michael, a long, long time ago, we've had this podcast now for almost 4 years. A long, long time ago, I think we were talking about Tyrone Mings. And I was like, man, why doesn't City just sign Mings? He has to defend constantly. Maybe if we don't make him defend as much, he'd be really good. You know what I mean? Like, just typical transitive property math on a central defender. Mark Gahey, bring him in to Man United. They've had so many center back problems. Again, we just mentioned, because there's been no support in that center defensive mid area, sorry, Richards, you're not a CDM, for Palace, he may have looked weak at times. They may have looked stretched out. They're going to give up goals. They're not having that great a season. It's not his fault. He is a really good center back. He's a big guy. I think that he would be a great addition to Man United. I'm looking at him as defensively way better than anyone they got and giving you some attack as well, just like Slabhead does, but maybe even a little bit better than him. Mark Gahey to United, I think, just kind of makes sense. And if I'm being honest, in the world of Man United signings, he's not going to be the most expensive bullshit that someone's going to regurgitate to you. I think it's actually pretty doable.
So my only question with that is, why don't they just get the better Palace defender?
You think he's second best
to Anderson? I think Elliot Anderson has had a great year. Yeah.
I don't know. I like Mark Gahey.
Maybe that's the making fun of them. Like, we're suggesting the second best defender on a team.
Well, who's got the better ceiling and who has the better standing broad jump or some shit like that? I'm sure that there's a way that we could break this down. I like Mark Gahey. Absolutely. I don't know. I know Elliot Anderson's
really good. I do too. Really, I think he's good.
Yeah, I know Elliot Anderson's really good as well, but Mark Gahey for me.
That's fine. I went a different route. I think that their midfield is atrocious a lot of the time. I think you need to get I think the McTominay positives and negatives, I think you just need to fucking be done with it, get rid of him, end it all. Obviously, Amrabat has not worked, or isn't not going to work in that system. I actually think he's a really good player. I want Anton Stosch from Hoffenheim, another Bundesliga pick. You can tell the league I like. He is a defensive midfielder for Hoffenheim. He's probably been one of their best players of the season. Great on defensive actions, great on aerial duels. He's only 25 years old, 14 million. I think it's cheap, and we know that they don't have any money because I keep having to hear about it. And he can pop up with a goal, create some chances, has some shots on goal. I think you need somebody who is going to be committed to that defensive mid role, and right now Casemiro is not going to be that guy. He's hurt or he's out or whatever. Get a young guy in. I think that team honestly needs so much of a gutting that this is the start. Get that good DM in there. We always talk about it. We've said it numerous times this pod.
Yeah, You gotta get rid of some of the dead weight. But they also just need to make quality signings, which is harder than it sounds, obviously, and Nick will be the first one to tell you. Michael, Brighton, who you got going down to the sunny coast of South England with Brighton?
All right. This is the most realistic pick that I have on this whole thing, because Brighton are not signing anybody from Europe, probably.
they're going to
South America. They're finding a Colombian, an Ecuadorian, Uruguayan child, and they are going to make him probably like the best player that you've ever seen in like a year and a half. Okay, so with that being said, give me striker forward Emilio Aristazabal from Atletico Nacional.
No shot he said that league. Correctly. No shot.
No, 0% chance. I have no idea. He's 18 years old. All I had to do was go on like FM and see what his potential, like his potential outlook would be. He's in the mid 80s. He's going to be an absolute sensation. He's like 61 right now. He'll be an 80 next year. He'll be like the new Enciso. So yeah, just go get him. It's already in the stars.
I was going to say, Michael made the pick where it's like, we're going to be walking the dog in 2 years, and there's going to be a FOTMOB notification that someone scored for Brighton, and we're all going to chat each other and be like, who the fuck is this? Like, no idea who this
dude,
guy was.
It happened this year with the Hinselberg guy.
Yeah.
Or Hinsel,
yeah.
Whatever. I was like, I've never seen this guy. And
exactly.
He's actually, like, insanely good, maybe.
Great pedigree. You went up top. I went where Brighton actually needs help right now. Juan Lu Sanchez from my boys in Sevilla. Brighton, can they score? Yes. Can they defend? No. He's a right back, but he can also play center back. He's learning the dark arts from Sergio Ramos right now, which is good enough to have Sevilla like 17th, which is terrible. But this guy has a super high ceiling. He's 20 years old. He's already got Real Madrid monitoring him. Brighton, in my opinion, because like my brain was broken because of the Ansu Fati loan deal. I think that like that system there have the best salespeople ever, that I kind of think they can go into Andalusia, go to Sevilla, and say, look, let me sell you on Brighton for the next 3 years. In 3 years, we'll sell you for $100 million to Chelsea, where you can fizzle out or make it big, and like that's the dream now. And I think this dude's going to be sick. Juan Luis Sanchez, you heard it here first, going to Brighton. Yeah, that's my pick for Brighton. Both
pick, John.
Both,
I love it.
Appreciate it. Both guys that, like, most people listen to this pod are going to be like, who the fuck are these guys? Which is the most Brighton thing ever. All right.
But that's what makes it. That's what makes us right.
Yeah, yeah. West Ham. I have a striker that they've actually been tied to a couple different times. Hugo Ekitike. I did not say that correctly, but he's a young kid.
Ekitike?
Ekitike. That's what it is. Ekitike. Sorry.
Yeah. Ekitike.
Ekitike. It's a long pod. Look, he's at PSG. They've been tied to him in the past. They're already, what are they, seventh right now in the table? They're going to kind of consistently be in Europe, maybe? Sixth? They just won the Conference League. They're doing really, really well in Europa. Like, you have Declan Rice money. Go buy some guys that can maybe change the trajectory of the next 3 or 4 or 5 years for you guys. If not on the field, then in your wallet. Like, if this kid comes in and has one good season, you can Declan Rice him too, right? Like, let's go start making money. Let's try to replicate Brighton a little bit. But I think this kid's good. Like, everything that I've read, he has a knack for scoring goals. He would team up with, your boy Jared Bowen up there. I just think that, like, he's ready for the challenge of the Premier League. Based on everything I've seen and read, bring him in. West Ham, get a striker. I don't know if Moyes will be able to handle it, but whatever. We'll figure it out.
Yeah, I like it. I think Bowen is good on the wing too, so you don't want Ben Rahm and Fornals out there.
Mm-hmm.
They do have I'm blanking on his name. Very incredible player currently at African Cup of Nations. That's why he's not playing. Oh my God. What is it? Oh, hold on. It's going to drive me absolutely insane. We talk about him like every episode.
Oh, Kudus?
Good God. Kudus, Jesus. I could not think of his name. So, Kudus, a striker, and Bowen. That would be pretty nice kind of counterattack. Yeah. My pick is easy. Who did they just get this year who's absolutely smashing it for them? Midfielder from a relegated team in the Premier League.
Man, why you do this to me? Why are you embarrassing me on my own podcast?
JWP.
Yeah, James Ward-Prowse, my guy.
James Ward-Prowse, hyphenated name, just got relegated with Southampton, went to West Ham, absolutely crushing it. You know who got relegated last year? Leicester City. I know.
They did.
Okay.
Indeed.
They did. You know who's a really good midfielder for them? Who has a hyphenated name?
I do.
Okay. Who is as white as fucking James Ward-Prowse is?
Sounds like a U.S. senator from 1790.
Kiernan Dewsbury Hall.
Bring him in.
Bring him in. You got that Declan Rice money. You're probably, in the summer, gonna get some Paqueta money.
Yeah.
I'd imagine. Maybe. Dewsbury Hall can play a little bit on the wings, mainly attacking mid, center mid. Him and JWP. Just white boy hyphenated name killing it for West Ham for the next couple years. I love that.
Love it. Michael. Ange. He had a great start of the season. It's kind of fizzled a little bit. He's trying to get it back. Who do Spurs pick up in January?
Dude, I was so close because it looks like they're going to get a center back from Genoa, I believe, mm-hmm. or maybe it's Bologna. I can't remember, but mm-hmm. same league. I had Alessandro Buongiorno from Torino. he's having a great season at center back for your guys in Italy. They're not the team isn't doing very well, but he's performing very well. He's a big guy.
They're performing a little bit.
They're doing not bad, not yeah. terrible. Actually, I think you guys just had a pretty big win, if I remember correctly.
Well, I'm now a Cagliari fan anyway, so it's fine.
Okay, yeah, whatever. Just like you, a City yeah. guy through and through. So I think he'd be a great option. I know you have Van de Ven, who's been great. You have Romero, who he's going to get suspended, you know, from now until the end of his career. So you're going to need somebody else. And I think Buongiorno, is it Buongiorno? Buongiorno? You're more Italian than I am.
Italian by marriage, that is absolutely correct. I think it's Buongiorno. Like,
Buongiorno. Hello. Yeah.
So, anyway.
Great name. Great name. Andrew would yeah. love it. I'd love to see him say it.
Absolutely. You went Italian, I went French. Jean-Claire Todibo from Nice. Van de Ven being out. Dyer possibly leaving. I think you and I both had the same mindset here. Get a center back. They're adding Werner, so I didn't want to go do offensively. This is a dude that is super pacey. He's a guy that is not afraid to play advanced passes, advanced balls. I think that's incredible to be able to play a ball from your back line to Son or Richie or Kulusevski on a break, on a counter. I think that Ange would love having this guy in there. Jean-Claire Todibo from Nice. He is also learning, like I said, for the last center back guy I got, learning from Ramos. This guy's learning from Dante. You know Dante? He's like 40. He played at yeah. Sevilla as well, plays at Nice. Just good through and through defender that's going to be there for a while. All right, Michael, I'm not going to let you go first on this one because I have a soapbox to stand on and shout from when it comes to Arsenal. You know it's coming, right?
You want me to just get out of here and tell me when you're done?
All right, yeah, please. Dom okay. Solanke to Arsenal. Dom Solanke to Arsenal. You might want Tony. You might want Osimhen. You might want some other huge talent. The correct answer is Dom Solanke to Arsenal. It will be, at this moment, the cheaper option, which Arsenal always has a little bit of issues. You just bought Declan Rice. You might not have that much money to go with. You can do like a loan and buy later type scenario. You want a striker. The fans want a striker. They won't stop shutting up about a striker. Bring him in. He's the best option. Osimhen, unproven in the Prem. Right? You want to win now. Like, Arsenal needs to win now. We just talked about this is kind of a trophy or bust season, and you're only in two competitions for the rest of the season. Both of them, the hardest ones to win. Trophy or bust season for Arteta. You want to win now. Osman unproven in the Premier League. Ivan Toney has not played for 6 months. Who's to say he's going to go there and know what the fuck is going on and be good?
And it's
going
to be 100 mil.
Yeah, exactly. And he's going to be 100 mil. Dom Solanke to Arsenal might not be the sexy pick. It might not be the pick that all the fucking bots that are in our comments want to see. It's the correct pick. It's the right pick. And it pains me to say this because Michael and I have forged a brotherhood with a Bournemouth fan named Craig on this pod. And we don't want to see him go because we love Dom and we love Craig. So that's what it is. Dom Solanke to Arsenal. It is the correct pick. It's not the best pick. It's the correct pick. Bang.
Nah, bro, you don't know ball. You don't know fucking ball, bro.
Bullshit.
Zero ball knowledge. Listen, Arsenal, you're not getting what you want from me. You're getting a fucking right back from Leverkusen who's really good. You're gonna get you're gonna get Jeremy Frimpong.
Great pick, so you can just shut, absolutely.
I mean, I'd love him. You can shut the fuck up, you could put a center back at left back, you could have him bomb up the field, cut sack it inside, basically run a 3-3-4.
Yeah.
Which everyone wants to do. Maybe you'll just by will force the ball into the net instead of being able to finish it. Either way, if you get either one of these guys, it's an absolutely unbelievable signing. So yeah. Shut up. I don't want to hear it anymore.
Michael, put me out of my misery. Who you got going to Man City? And the only reason I want you to go first is because you texted me when you made this list. You're like, I hate how much I like your pick.
I love this pick. I absolutely... Listen, Pep, what I know about Pep and what I know about you guys don't have... When something doesn't work, Pep likes to change stuff up. At the moment, he doesn't have the players to shift style necessarily a lot. That's why you see Foden playing different roles, Alvarez playing in different roles. Kovacic's pretty one-dimensional. Mateus Nunez, I don't know what he does.
Based on Mr. Lasso's show, it's called Total Football, correct?
Yeah, for sure. But to play Total Football, John, you need a guy who's versatile. You need a guy who can play multiple positions.
So I've heard.
Enter from the Bundesliga again. God, I love this league. Julian Brandt, 27-year-old. He has probably like 3 or 4 more years at his prime. He can play left wing. He can play right wing. He can play attacking mid. He can play center mid, right mid, left mid, defensive mid. He's almost a box to box, sideline to sideline player. Absolutely outrageous for Dortmund. Listen, they're not going to win the Bundesliga. They're not going to, you know, get kicked out of like the Champions League or Europa League. They're having a pretty good run in Champions League right now, so that's your one thing. but he's an absolutely outstanding player, can play all across the front line for you, can even probably slide in at striker at times. You need somebody creative in there with De Bruyne. I think this is an absolute home run pick.
I also don't think it'll cost that much.
His market value is 45. Yeah, I think there's way more expensive options. Like, you could get the dude from Leverkusen, who's, like, 6 years younger. Mm-hmm. But I think Brandt gets into that team, and he performs immediately.
Yeah. And which is key, because whoever you bring in, they tend to take a year to settle in, except for this year, because we're forcing it right now. Look, I talked about being cheap. This pick would not be cheap at all, because we tried to get it done, and I think if we would have got it done, we'd be in a whole different position in the table. I think this is maybe, outside of Declan Rice and Rodri, one of the most important midfielders in the Premier League at the moment. It's Lucas Paquetá. We wanted to get him done. Couldn't do it. I forget what it was. It was something with him, and we had to investigate him and whatever. Just bring him. I don't give a shit. We have 115 charges against us. You think I give a shit about playing by the rules now? I don't. Bring this guy's ass in. He would make this midfield so damn good. And I want to see it. He's so technical. He plays defensive midfield well. Like, it would just be being able to go front to back, box to box the entire time. It would relieve Rodri a little bit. It would allow Kevin De Bruyne to have some cover, being just offensively. You'd be able to connect passes into Haaland. I think this makes a ton of sense. Bonus, I mentioned this to you. I also know that our defense is a little shaky, especially at right and left back. I'm not opposed to bringing the Jedi over to the dark side. I think Anthony Robinson to Man City would be an amazing pickup. And I think that it would be awesome to have an actual really good American on this team that I could actually root for. So, Lucas Paqueta.
So this would just confirm that he's Anakin, right?
Absolutely. He is.
Yeah.
Let's get the art going.
Okay.
So Paquita or Jedi Robinson, either or. That's what I got for City. Michael, who you got for Villa?
Listen, you stood your ground. You stood your fucking ground with Dom Solanke, and you know what? I salute you for that. I'm gonna stand my ground. I'm gonna stand my ground with Aston Villa. Sorry, Craig. Marcus Tavernier. Absolutely electric player on the left side. He can play a left wing. He can play a left back, left wing back position. I think he is a fantastic player for Bournemouth. I think he would get taken to the next level under Unai Emery and the Aston Villa team. Have a ton of assists on the year. Probably have some goals. I love Marcus Tavernier. I love Bournemouth. I love Bournemouth.
God, I was waiting for you to admit it.
What can I say? What can I say?
Yeah. Look, I think that's great. I know that Unai wanted some competition for Digne too, so I think that actually makes sense. Like, if I'm Bournemouth too, you're cashing in on some of these dudes. Like, and I do think that Foley and that team have now kind of proven that, like, their beginning part of the season was really tough, but they've made selections and they made picks that have panned out, and they're, like, good at recruiting. I think that this is a good thing to give them money. Villa, though. Let's not talk about Bournemouth. Let's talk about Villa. Where was Unai the most successful? Do you know?
In Spain.
Sevilla. In Spain. Absolutely correct. Who do I think would fit into a Unai system the best? Probably a Spanish guy. Probably someone who's familiar with the systems that they're going to be running. Is this going to be realistic? I don't know. Maybe not. But I want to see it because I've done this in FIFA so many times. You know who's coming to the Premier League, Michael? Inaki Williams. Inaki Williams from Bilbao. They're looking for another striker. They need someone up top. This makes sense. I just want to see this. I don't care. I just want to see this. I want to see Inaki Williams at Aston Villa. I want to see him in the Premier League. If not him, Nico, but probably Inaki because he'll be cheaper and like he can score and he'll do really, really well. And he's awesome. One of my favorite players of all time. Bring Inaki Williams to Aston Villa. Get him scoring.
Doesn't miss games either. He's a
workhorse.
Absolute monster when it comes to playing.
All right, you want to go?
All right, do you want to go
first? Oh, I almost beat you.
You go first. You go first. You go first. All right. You go first.
So there is no shot in hell I'm pronouncing this guy's name right. But for Liverpool, I got Piero Hincapié from Leverkusen. He can play center back. He can play left back. I think it's just what Klopp needs. You guys are in the position to finally win another Premier League in this moment. There's no excuse anymore. Go after it. You're leading after Boxing Day. He's got to get his second. You guys got to go after it. Matip's down with injury. As much as we love seeing Joe Gomez like put in a shift, not the answer. This guy is from the Bundesliga, which, as you've said many a times, is a great translator into the Premier League. Bring in Hincapié. He's amazing. Bonus. For Liverpool as well, put up or shut up.
Liverpool,
put up or shut up. We really want the Magic Johnson versus Larry Bird era in the Premier League. Just fucking buy Mbappe. Just stop pussyfooting around. Sorry. Buy Mbappe. We want Haaland. We want Haaland versus Mbappe. We want Bird versus Magic. That is what this league is becoming. I don't give a shit about any other team. I want the Titans to go after each other. We have the best league in the world. Make it better. Fucking buy Mbappe. Stop being a little punk, Fenway.
We have the best league. Me in Ohio. I love Hincapié. There's no chance we get him. Leverkusen are going to try to win the Bundesliga. They need everybody there. Yeah. He'll be like a summer thing.
Yeah.
Another guy we're definitely not going to get, but this is what I would want because, first of all, brother, have you seen what's in Joe Gomez's pocket? Last two times he's played Arsenal, Bukayo Saka.
Yeah.
Man is just in his pocket with his keys in his wallet. Okay.
Yeah.
Give me. Sorry, I know I said I would stop being mean. Give me João Neves of Benfica. We have history with Benfica. Obviously, yeah. We got Darwin Nunes from them. It's worked out fantastic. Wouldn't change a thing about it. João Neves is I think like 19 years old. Plays in that defensive mid role. He is a fuck ton of money.
Looks like a child.
He will cost so much money. Literally, looks like a child. Tackles like an absolute man, though. Yeah. Just want to say. he essentially, you would have a DM for the next, you know, decade. For what it's worth. And we've said so many times, that's the position. Listen, I love Endo. He's had a great past like month and a half playing. He's 30, 31, whatever. Yeah. It's not going to be forever. I don't think it was ever meant to be forever. This is the guy you bring in, and he's your Rodri for 10 years, basically.
Yeah, this dude looks, though, like there's this one time, and this is like story time that's going to end this. Playing pickup soccer out at the pier in Brooklyn Bridge Park, and literally playing with high school kids, like, because that's where they all hang out and congregate. So then you end up with teams that are a little bit blended of like high school kids and us almost 40-year-olds. Michael, there's graphics for this episode. People will see what he looks like.
Frick.
It's all right. But literal 40-year-olds and high school kids playing. And I remember like doing like a 5-on-5 or 7-on-7, whatever it was, and shifting out. And this kid like looks just like João Neves, just baby face. And everyone on the sideline was like, damn, how do you think that kid's a freshman? Like, whatever. Within saying that, 30 seconds later, in the middle of the field, just absolutely sticked the kid. And everyone on the sideline was, hey, good stick. It was sick. So, yeah, João Neves would be a huge pickup, but it would be expensive. It'd be monies.
Yeah. It would be, I think his market value is like 90 million. But, again.
Yeah. Klopp, put up or shut up. Klopp's got to get number two.
Brother, it fills a need for a decade, I'm telling you.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, transfers picked. Transfers, this is 40. 40 individuals.
41. 41. Full. You said Anthony Robinson, too.
Technically, it was like 43. We were going all over the place at the end. But 43, yeah, none of them included Ivan Toney, which is crazy. 43 transfers. Michael, what are your final thoughts about putting this together?
I would say I have a, what, 5% hit rate because I got Damsgaard to Brentford, correct?
Yeah.
Before it happened. I'm going to get one of these right. One of these is going to be right.
My thought is, for sure, this was not as easy as I thought it was going to be, so I would like to get paid to do this.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, pay us monies. Sick. All right, like I said, like, share, subscribe. If you're watching this on YouTube, wherever you get your podcasts, if you're interacting with this on Instagram, social media, we have all of them. We have a TikTok. It's blowing up every once in a while. Not always, though. Michael, did you get a joke? I doubt it, right?
Fuck no.
That's a Tuckers thing. We'll leave it for the Tuckers. New episode coming out on Thursday, right before the matches this Friday, and then we have international break. You'll have probably another transfer update. Hopefully, like Michael said, we can report back on some completed transfers. But great episode, dude. Like, all 20 teams, two picks for each. Insane.
So also, let me just, before you in particular get roasted for saying that the second time, it's definitely not international break. It's FA Cup weekend, then League Cup, and then they just stagger Prem games. It's like, there's Prem games this weekend, there's Prem games next weekend.
I thought there was an international break coming up. Fuck that up.
Nope. March.
All right, well,
Don't roast me now, please.
You guys should all start a Premier League podcast and do it for 3.5 years so that you can make those mistakes as well. All right. That is it. Like, subscribe, share.
It's over. Episode's over. Bye.
Episode's over. Bye. Knock, knock, who's there? Episode's over. See you later.
The NAFTA Podcast.
Sometimes it may be good, sometimes it may be shit.